This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Corona quarantine 2020. What did you do? Nothing, probably. Well, mostly me too. That doesn't mean you can't eat healthy and eat things that are good for you. You're getting Uber Eats every day. What are you doing? You're wasting a bunch of money, number one, and you're eating like a monster. Come on, man. Have some self-pride. Have some self-respect. Try NTT Nutrition. Check them out at nttfitness.com. They got good food. They got things that are good for you, and they are delivered right to your door, just like Uber Eats. Same thing, but you're eating things. You're eating macros and micros, whatever the hell that means. I don't know. I just eat it, and I know I feel better, and believe it or not, I'm actually looking better too. Check it out. Use my code LEVELUP15 at checkout and get 15% off your first order, nttfitness.com. All right, let's start the show.
Rob Park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5. 4, 3, 2, 1.
I am a patient boy. I wait. My time to want to start a trade.
The Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the show. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. Please do remember to subscribe to this podcast wherever you do get your podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all those little goofy ones that I get messages about. Is it on radioplayer.org? I don't know. Probably. Just put in HMB Radio Tampa Bay and you should be able to find it. Follow the social media accounts while I still have them. I'm still without Instagram. Kind of used to not having it now, although I feel bad because NTT Fitness reached out to me and they're like, hey, why aren't you tagging us on your what's going on here? We had an agreement and I had to go, yeah, sorry about that. I don't have an Instagram right now. I'm working on it. And they just never responded back. So I'm sorry, NTT. I love you all. It's been a godsend having them, really, because I haven't been able to go to the grocery store or leave the house. You'll find out why very soon. But before we get to that, Anna and I did talk about the election, and we talked about it before we knew what was going on, really. So I just wanted to record this part when we knew a little bit more. All the networks, AP, everybody's declared Biden the victor. He's the new president-elect of the United States as of right now. There's a bunch of crap going on that there's going to go to the courts and that there's mass fraud and I don't know. It's hard to keep up with. You got people telling you different things all the time. I'm really frustrated with how lazy our press is, though, even locally here. They've spent more time, you know, certain outlets you expect that out of because they're lunatics. But others, you know, like the Tampa Bay Times, for God's sakes, who is our local paper here, spent most of the time just poo-pooing. Like, there's no way it could possibly... This is nothing. He's claiming without evidence, baseless accusations. Like, you saying that they're baseless is baseless. Because I've seen video. There's software that's used in 30 states where 6,000 votes got switched from Trump to Biden. Now, you could say, why don't you look into this, journalist, with this idiot from the Times. What's his name? Scrolling my Twitter feed here, trying to find it. It's like Kirby something. I don't know. He just says, oh, I have no idea what's going on in Michigan. He's claiming stuff in Michigan. Yeah, that's a state where 6,000 votes got changed, dumbass. Go on Twitter and look this stuff up. Why are you so lazy? You're a journalist, aren't you? Look into this stuff. Prove that it's baseless, not just on its face that it's baseless. He doesn't even know what's going on. And he's very sure of himself. And we have a very unreliable press here in this country, and probably the world for that matter. But this is what we're dealing with. And we have President Joe. Everybody's very excited. My friends are very excited. I couldn't care less. I didn't vote. I think voting is a sham. I don't even know if democracy is a good idea at this point. I'm pretty sure that the American people are so incompetent that it's not a good idea for us to pick our leaders at this point. Now, what's the alternative to that? I don't know. But I didn't want to participate this time, so I didn't. And I didn't vote for either of those guys because I think they're both swamp creatures. One was funny, at least. I got to say, though, I'm looking forward to Biden presidency. I think it's going to be hilarious, and it's going to be funny watching press ask Joe Biden where Kamala Harris is all the time, whenever he's at a press conference. Sir, where's Vice President Harris? Shouldn't she be here for this, sir? Sir, where is she? They are very excited about a lady being vice president and a black lady, Indian lady, being vice president. Although they've had to temper those expectations because I found out today, Joe Shapiro from NPR, Kamala Harris is not the first POC VP. Charles Curtis, Hoover's VP, was a member of the Kaul Nation, which is an Indian native tribe. So sorry, Kamala. Feather beat the dot this time. But it is historic. You know, all my friends are very excited that are obsessed with this identity politics game that a black Indian woman is going to be vice president and be their overlords. So she is, they're excited to serve her and what she wants to have happen. It's going to be a lame duck session. Biden will get nothing done because they didn't win the Senate like they had hoped. And that's the thing that, like, my dad and my bosses, they're all up in arms about this, but it's going to be fine. Like, it's going to be fine. Gridlock is good. Nothing will get done. And that's a good thing. You got Cocaine Mitch in there, and he's going to have to approve Biden's cabinet. All of Biden's picks are going to have to go through Mitch McConnell. So, I noticed that press was kind of, they were excited that they got rid of Trump, but they didn't really get everything that they wanted. And of course, our press is so biased. So, I mean, beyond bias into agenda territory where they're just the mouthpiece for the Democratic Party in this country. And I think you're in denial if you just don't believe that at this point. Or you're just a Democrat and go, no, it's not possible. Yeah, it is. It is. Trust me. Well, you won't trust me, but, you know, as somebody who doesn't consider themselves anything at this point, I like to think that I'm rational enough to look at, what's happening rationally. And, so I don't know. We'll see what happens with President Joe Biden and watch them try to get rid of him with the 25th Amendment in the next few months. His own party, by the way, that should be pretty interesting, or he'll maybe decide to step down. Who knows? It's going to be fun, and it's going to be funny. So keep your heads up, everybody. To those of you who are declaring victory and are happy, congratulations to you. I'm glad your person, your swamp creature, is in office now, and you can feel a little better and maybe not be so afraid of life. That's a good thing. So I'm looking forward to just having normal talks with my friends now that they've won, and they'll be able to feel more comfortable. So that would be good. Anna and I talked about this. Like I said, we were a little behind the curve because we talked about it last week, just right after the election happened, and we were still very unsure. So now we know, as of right now, you know, Biden's been declared the president-elect of the United States. And I'm probably going to be on the shelf next week, too. We'll have to choose on the phone. You'll find out why in a second. And it's looking like I'll probably have her by phone next week, too. So sorry if the quality's a little not as good with her just not being here with me. This podcast is brought to you by NTT Fitness. Go check out NTT Fitness. They've been more than patient with me. And they're awesome product and an awesome service. So go check them out. I believe they have a 30% off on their website, and my code's for 15% off. So if you do, use that code and try them out, and just put that you heard it on the Homemade Broadcast. That would be, I'd appreciate that in the notes section on your first order. Use the 30% off code, though. Don't forget to put you heard it on the Homemade Broadcast, though, in the notes section when you're checking out. I would appreciate that. And thank you to always to True V Salon and Spa. Been with me almost from the beginning. TrueVSalonAndSpa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Make your appointments today at TrueVSalonAndSpa.com. If you are liking this podcast, liking what you're hearing, feel free to donate. I have a donate page on HMBRadio.com. You don't have to. It's not a big deal. This is free, of course, but if you're interested in contributing, if you're liking what you're hearing, I would appreciate that. It's got my PayPal and Venmo up there, hmbradio.com/donate. Please do share this show with your friends, your family. Follow me on Twitter at @home_made_man while I still have it. I could very well get kicked off. Who knows? Yeah, retweet the shows, you know, share them. That stuff really helps. Give the podcast a 5-star rating if you're listening somewhere. Go to your review page, click 5 stars. These are all, you know, tiny things that really help me out, and I appreciate you doing it. So go check out NTT Fitness. Go check out True V Salon and Spa. Go do those other things if you want to. You don't have to, but it's appreciated very much, and I thank you for doing it. All right, let's get into Anna and I rehatching the last week. Here we go.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
You are on the phone for a good reason. Because I currently have COVID-19.
You do.
It's a matter of time as far as I'm concerned, but still sucks.
You mean that until I get it?
Well, I think everybody's going to get it eventually. Yeah.
Are you planning on giving it to me? Are you going to show up in my house and cough in my face?
You know, I was going to say, if you want to come over and just get it, then you can go ahead and do that.
I mean, if I don't have, I mean, if it happens naturally, I will. I don't think I'm actively going to go and try to get it, because I do still have to go to a place of occupation. If I work from home, honestly, I would do it, but I don't. So
part of me is relieved, because I feel like I'll be able to, like, if you're going to get it in 2020, I feel like I got it at the perfect time, because it's, you have at least a few months where I'm going to have these antibodies, and we got Thanksgiving, Christmas, the new year. I'll be free. I'm a free man during that time. I don't have to worry about, you know, getting it, or I don't have to worry about giving it to anybody. Mm-hmm. I am totally, it's a peace, really, truly. You don't have that fear of killing somebody. I did give it to a bunch of people, though, which I'm very unhappy about. I started last Wednesday. We were gonna do the Johnny and I were gonna do the Mike Halter show in the morning, cover for that. And Wednesday, we were gonna cover for the show on Thursday and Friday. Wednesday, I didn't feel very good. Wednesday is the day that I go into work at my day job, and I was telling my boss, one of my bosses showed up, and I was talking to him. I said, "Man, I keep getting these weird bugs. Like, they last a few days where I just don't feel that great, and then they go away. I think it's from wiping everything down all the time and wearing a mask where you're breathing into it, other stuff. You're laying it down on the table and it's getting stuff on it." So my theory is that your body doesn't have that natural resilience that it has when it experiences these bugs in the wild.
You actually lower your immune system when you try to protect yourself more.
Right, right. So that's what I was thinking. And then I jokingly said, unless I have COVID-19. And then I was a little nervous later on, and I ended up saying, well, okay, I'm going to cover for the morning show. There's going to be people there and at the radio station. Let me go ahead and get a test. And I assumed that the test was going to come back positive because that is my luck. I was already looking forward to the, I can't cover in the morning. Sorry, guys, you have to figure it out. Got the instant test. Instant test came back. Nope, you're good. Go ahead and do your thing. And I went, oh, okay, great. And went and did the shows on Thursday and Friday. A lot of fun. Got a lot of good feedback on them. And Saturday, I woke up, didn't feel good. And then I went back to sleep in the morning and slept until about 5 p.m. So we're talking about 16 hours of sleep. That's not good. But I figured, well, it's because the schedule is so jacked, right? It's because I'm used to going to bed at 2.
Yeah, that'll mess you up without, you know, even if you're getting enough sleep, if your circadian rhythm is off, that'll throw you off for a few days.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So I said, okay, well, I'm just catching back up on sleep. That's no big deal. And then didn't feel, and I was supposed to go Saturday night. A couple of friends of mine were having a Halloween party, you know, socially distant outside. They're going to project movies on the screen and whatever. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, I'll try to make it. And then I talked to my friend who's a doctor. He said, well, just get some, I told him what was going on. He said, well, just get some Mucinex and, you know, come on over. I said, all right, well, I'll try to do that. So I went and got Mucinex and I took it, and I don't know, I just didn't feel that great. So I opted not to do that. I stayed home, and I'm very thankful that I did, because I lost my sense of taste and smell Saturday evening, and that's when I was like, I have it mm-hmm. Now that's the big sign. Now I've had colds and flus where your nose gets stuffy and you can't really taste, but you still can a little bit. There's like, it's just a residue. This was nothing. Everything tasted like water, or if you ate food, it was like crunchy water. It was nothing. So I went, oh crap, I know I have it. So Monday I went and got another test and told the doctor what was going on, and he goes, yeah, you probably have it. Let's check. Wasn't running a fever, no fever, no real problems. I had some really gnarly body aches on Sunday, and overnight it was really bad. So, but I got up, took a few ibuprofen, and I was back asleep within 20 minutes. It worked almost instantly. And I tested, and sure enough, positive. So, and then you have to go through the process of, oh, Jesus, I just saw a bunch of people at work. And
it really is like you have, like, syphilis or something, and now you have to call all your previous sexual partners and let them know, hey, you probably have syphilis too. Mm-hmm. So.
There is stigma with it, and people are deathly afraid of this thing. Maybe rightfully so. I got to tell you, for me and people that I know that have had it, it's a head cold. I mean, it's barely anything. As far as being sick of, and I suppose I'm not out of the woods yet, but I feel fine. My sinuses are a little jacked up, but other than that, I feel fine.
Your
I feel
sinuses like, are always a little jacked up.
Yeah, I mean, like, I could tell that I'm sick, though. You know, I
can kind of hear it. You do sound just a little bit congested, but you do sound better than the last time I spoke with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel a lot better. I feel pretty much, I feel like I could go and run right now if I was able to. If they'd let me outside, I would go do that. But my taste and smell started to come back yesterday, and really, it was very mild. It was a very mild case. I did have some of the shortness of breath that they talk about. The oxygen saturation level was normal, but on the low end of normal when I went and got that checked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as far as being sick, though, of times I've been sick, this was not even close to even being in the top 10.
But I've heard from, I mean, everybody that I know that has had it, same situation. I mean, I had my friend who's pregnant had it, and she was like, I've had hangovers worse than this.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people have described it as feeling like you have a hangover, and I could kind of see that. Your head's kind of cloudy a little bit, but I described it more as a head cold. Mm-hmm. You know, and you don't know what the long-term damages of this are going to be, or, you know, whatever. I still feel like even when I'm talking now, I feel like I'm a little out of breath talking. So maybe that has something to do with the bug. I don't know. But It was hardly anything, barely a blip on the radar, this whole thing. And now, you know, I'm doing the responsible thing. I'm quarantining for 10 days. I'm going to attempt to try to get a test this weekend to see if I can test negative. But I might just realistically just wait till next week, wait one full week or 10 days, I guess. Not one, mm-hmm. a little more than what I'm supposed to. But yeah, it sucks. Like, people who are exposed to it have to quarantine for 14. People who actually have it, now they're saying 10 days.
I'm sorry, say that again. So if you're exposed to it, you have to quarantine for 14 days. But if you have it, you only have to quarantine for 10?
Right. Yep. Doesn't make much sense, but I guess because it has that incubation period for people potentially, that's 2 weeks long.
That's kind of dumb, but all right.
So yeah, I gave it to Johnny. I think I gave it to the other guy that was in studio with us. He hasn't gotten tested yet, but he said his sinuses are jacked up and whatever.
Would you call yourself a super spreader?
I would. I would. Billy the super spreader back in action. I felt really terrible for a few days because I was like, oh my God. And then I got sick on Tuesday. I saw like my family on Tuesday. I got sick on Wednesday is when I started to feel kind of crappy.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, what if I just, you know, freaking devastated a whole population. But you know, I talked to my doctor guy and he was just like, you did everything right. I don't have any problems with me sending you to work. I told you to go to work and that you were fine. So this does happen. And I feel a little better now, but it's tough. You got to like let people know. And then you're out of, you know, you're now I'm stuck inside and, but that's just what we got to do.
You're probably going to get it anyways. You know, I think we all are at some point. So, like you said, maybe now is probably the best time to get it, especially, I mean, it would have been awful if you and Johnny got it March, April, when everyone was really scared of this thing. We didn't really understand it. We didn't really know anybody that had had it. And of my doctor friends that I know, again, I don't quite understand the science behind it, but it seems as though viruses weaken as they permeate through a population. So, I mean, it seems like people, and again, maybe this is just media hype, but it seems like people are getting, and it could just be more people are getting it. And so obviously the cases are going up, but the death rates are going down. But everybody seems to be fine that has it now that I know. You know, I'm not really hearing about any crazy, you know, I had to go to the hospital and I had to be put on a ventilator, et cetera. So I'm really glad you got it now and not when everyone was as scared. I mean, we probably know at least 10 people that have had it.
Definitely. And I felt like I needed to tell my upstairs neighbors because, well, number one, I just wanted them to stay away from me for their own protection. You know, sometimes we cross paths or, you know, they'll knock on my door and offer me stuff, and you know, I just wanted to let them know so they didn't come do that. And of course they panic because of the stigma that's around it. And you need to go. I was just outside throwing the garbage away. They're like, you need to go put on a mask. You're not going to work, are you? All this stuff. No. I'm just throwing out the garbage. I'm going back inside. I'm not going to put a mask on to go throw the garbage out. It's ridiculous. But I understand why people are afraid because it's a scary thing. People don't know. People still don't really know. But I don't know, like my feet, I had to stop myself so many times because I'm just like, this is not worth shutting the country down over. This is bull crap. Everybody should just get this thing, get it
right. But again, like, that is your experience. And I'm just playing devil's advocate. I mean, I agree with you. But, you know, I mean, I have heard of some strange cases. Like, I don't know if you know who, like, Michael Yeo is, actor. I don't know if he's some sort of entertainer, but he's friends with Rogan, and he almost died from it. He's like in really good shape. He's pretty young. I want to say he's probably like 42. Another, like, remember that guy that was on Broadway who, I mean, was a performer, healthy, probably maybe 40, late 30s, killed him. Did they have pre-existing conditions? I don't know, but there is the off chance it can kill you, but for the vast majority of people, like you said, barely a blip on the radar. So
yeah, and I feel lucky that was the case for me. You know, that's how,
but
I'm
that's
gonna
every that's every like cold virus, every flu virus is similar, where you can, a lot of people, I mean, to be honest with you, it seems like the flu is a lot worse than COVID-19 for most of the people that I know that have gotten the flu and they're out, like, out for like 10 days or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's been so politicized that, and it's hard to trust the data. You don't, I mean, you can get,
no,
one of my problems with graphs and data is that you can get graphs and data to really say whatever you want based on how close you look at them. If you zoom in on them, these numbers look huge. And if you zoom out, they're barely on the map.
From a firsthand experience, I mean, even being in grad school, not that I graduated from grad school, but in order to have significant results, or not that you're necessarily looking to publish, but if you're looking to politicize, I mean, you can have the same data and run a different analysis and you can get a significant versus an insignificant result if you, you know, take out outliers or run a different sort of regression on something. It can be different, and you can, what they call it like massaging the data. That's like not the PC term, but when they're trying to mask what they're doing, they're like, oh, you just massage the data and you can kind of change it, which is really, really shady.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to know what is going on, what the truth is. I mean, besides you getting COVID-19, we did have another pretty significant event. I would say we had the election.
Yeah, election 2020 happened, and it went just like I thought it was going to go. I mean, did anybody really think? Johnny said this. He goes, I thought we were going to have a winner and everything. I go, why would you think that with 2020 the way it was, that everything was going to go smoothly? We knew this was going to be a problem. Mail-in ballots were
voter fraud. We knew this.
There were so many ballots that did not get delivered. The USPS is a government organization, which is the DMV. Every government organization is the DMV. Although I will say I went to the DMV recently and went really well. But historically, the DMV is the example of government incompetence. And that's exactly what we had with the United States Postal Service. There was tons of ballots that did not get delivered. Bags that were just thrown away. People finding ballots in the desert in Arizona, just under a rock. I mean, like, there was so much wonky stuff.
Voter fraud and...
Right. I've seen some things about people in Michigan that have been dead since 1898 or something that were voted in this election.
Dead people are voting. I saw stuff where I guess a woman went in to do early voting or something, and someone told her to use a Sharpie. And then when she checked on the status of her ballot, it said it was canceled. And she was instructed to use a Sharpie, which is like, I mean, that should be a red flag. But, you know, people are dumb and they just listen to directions. So, and that's all that was offered. Like, could you imagine going and say you want Biden to win, going to historic red neighborhood and then telling everybody to use a Sharpie and then just collecting the ballot, not putting it through the scanner. And then boom, it's like, oh, sorry, these are invalid. Like, I mean,
I did see something about that. And I don't want to be spreading fake news or anything. I don't really, apparently the Sharpie is fine. Is the news that got updated with that. I don't know who the hell knows, but that's what, you know, mainstream, like, corporate press is reporting, that was kind of blown out of proportion. But there was a lot of examples. I saw just before we got on here, Pennsylvania is a mess. And they... So I see people, like my friends and stuff, saying that Trump's an ass and he's trying to steal the election because he doesn't want votes to be counted. Imagine that. And then they put that, imagine that. It's not, that's not what's going on. What's going on is he's... We have a cutoff point at a certain point where it says, like, if you receive the ballot after this point, it's not valid anymore. So he's worried that these ballots are getting counted that are too late. So it's not really the whole story there. That is, they had they filed a lawsuit and said that they won, the Trump people, the pollsters are able to go in and watch the counting. Now, the Democrats have filed a order to take it to another court because they don't want that to happen. It wouldn't, like, why? Why wouldn't you want that transparency there? That doesn't make sense.
You think that, and again, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but neither side trusts the other side, right?
Right.
So, I mean, and even me, who, listen, I'm very critical of the left, I voted for Trump, but I mean, it's just like, no side is going to be happy here. So if it looks like Biden is set to win as of right now, obviously Trump is contesting. He's going to order a recount of several votes or several states. And then what if they, let's just say Trump then wins, then the left is going to say, well, he cheated and he wanted to recount and he's counting things or he's not counting votes that should have been counted. I'm just realizing that, you know, it's like everybody needs to be in the room at the same time. Like the Republicans want to see what's going on, but if it was just the Republicans counting, then Democrats would want somebody in the room. And like, there's no one that's nonpartisan that's like, I don't care who wins. I just want to make sure they win fairly. Mm-hmm. Nobody seems to be on that side. Everybody is contesting the results. And to be honest with you, Will, I think that's the worst thing that can possibly happen in this moment. I honestly think it would have been better. I mean, obviously this clearly wouldn't happen because there were so many mail-in ballots, but I think it would have been better for the conscious and the collective of the American people if we had a winner that night. You know, whether it be Biden, whether it be Trump, if we just all knew and accepted the results, even if there was a huge backlash with like riots and stuff like that, at least we could like know and accept. But now nobody is like, I even looked up what would happen if we didn't pick a president by inauguration day. And it went through this whole gamut of like, well, this would happen. But at the end of the day, if nothing was decided and there's a few different, you know, steps in the process, it would be Nancy Pelosi would be the president. So, I mean, it's just like, oh, like we can't have that. What's going to happen then? So it's going to lead into more chaos in an already chaotic time and an already chaotic year. And to be honest with you, that is my biggest concern, is that like, if it switches to Trump now, then the left is going to revolt. Then the left is going to say, that's inaccurate, that mm-hmm. you stole the election. Because yes. that's what the right's saying now, is that yeah. the election is being stolen. So that's what really what worries me is, like, whoever wins, is anyone going to accept, is half the country going to say, not my president? Like, mm-hmm. what's going to happen?
Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. I think we have a process for this. I'm not really one of those voter fraud people who just, like, I've talked to my bosses at work and they're flipping out. It's stolen, you know, they're already on it's stolen before it's even decided yet. And I said, listen, we have a process for this. We have to trust the process. That's all we can really do. But it seems like, especially in this election, would you put it past people to try to steal it? And to me, I go, it makes perfect sense, because a lot of these people think that literally Donald Trump is not only the Republican candidate for president and they don't like what the GOP platform is, quite literally he is Hitler and the devil combined into one yeah. to a lot of people. So not only would you be right to try to keep him out of power by any cost, you would be morally obligated to do so if you really believe that. So yes, I think it's quite plausible that people would go to great lengths to try to alter the results of an election potentially. So unfortunately, while it would have been nice to get a winner on election night, if somehow one of the guys is able to just get over 270 and it was just so obvious. I mean, that's never the case usually. It always, you know, is skin tight always every election, it seems like. I don't think there's been a blowout since Reagan. It would have been nice, but it's just not feasible. And we're going to go through the process. We're going to go through the courts, and hopefully they'll be able to sort all this out and figure it out. And hopefully enough people will either accept it or we'll fight the war and be segregated like I want to happen, like the dissolve the United States and we'll all kind of go our own way. And hopefully we can do that peacefully through the courts and not through bullets. But one side doesn't have bullets or guns, so I'm not really too worried about that. It would make perfect sense to try to steal it. If you thought that Donald Trump was Hitler, like I said, you'd be morally obligated to try to keep it. You can't have him serve another 4 years.
Yeah, well, it's completely in tow with 2020, so I just hope that we get a decision sooner rather than later. I don't think that the nation is apt to deal with it mentally. We're already so disjointed, and for the future of the presidency to be up in the air and questionable is already adding more distrust in an already distrustful system, which, again, you should always be skeptical, but at some point you kind of just have to take it for granted and say, listen, this is the result. Whether there was voter fraud, there probably was. Whether there wasn't, let's just accept it so we can move on with our lives. Because I think at some point you just got to say, listen, F it. Let's just accept it. And we got to move forward, because otherwise trying to fight this thing is just going to, I feel like, lead to more problems. So
And I think it's important for remember for people who are like big Trump people or just conservatives or whatever, that this election too was a referendum on, I guess, Trump, but also his kind of his brand. And they expected that the Democrats were just going to steamroll. There was going to be a blue wave, a rejection of Trump's policies and his brand. And that was not the case. The GOP kept the Senate and actually gained, I think, about 6 to 8 congressional seats. Now, the Democrats still have power in Congress, but the Senate's Mitch McConnell's again. And then, worst case scenario, and you also have a Supreme Court.
Graham won against, what's his name, Jamie something. And that guy, this was in, what, North, South Carolina, I forget what state. But, I mean, I think it was the most expensive Senate race in history. It was like $151 million. What's his name? Jamie something.
I don't know.
And he lost.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I guess, Bloomberg and the Lincoln Project and, you know, all those people spent a bunch of money in these areas and it didn't mean anything. You just burned a pile of cash for this stuff. And it wasn't what they thought it was. And that's why I think you don't see a lot of people like, I mean, I know they're uneasy right now and they still could very well, Biden could end up not winning this thing in the courts. But even if he does, it's, you know, it's not going to be a big deal. He's not going to be able to do anything. He doesn't have the Senate and he doesn't have the Supreme Court now either. Don't forget that.
Yeah, I mean, and I heard some talking points about that, how scary that would be. And I think it would be kind of scary, frightening for either party. But I feel like with the left, because they want to dismantle the system completely, if they had, I mean, I don't know if this has happened before. I imagine it has, but I don't know that much about the history of U.S. government. But where the like Supreme Court, the legislative branch, and the executive branch all hang to one party, I think that would be absolutely detrimental. So thank God that the Senate is holding to the right, and obviously the judicial system as well. So we do have somewhat of a balance of ideas here.
Gridlock is good. Gridlock is good, and I think...
Yeah. I mean, it makes it... It's difficult to pass legislation, but better than steamrolling. I mean, if you could only imagine if Senate and the House and President and the Supreme Court all hung to the left. I mean, we're talking about a complete degradation of the U.S. as we know it into something that I feel like is not really congruent with the ideas of our founding fathers who created the nation in the first place. So that's kind of scary, but thankfully that's not happening. So I feel a little bit more at ease that there will be at least some sort of balance of power.
Yeah. And that was the expectation for, I guess, the Democratic Party, was that they were going to take over the Senate and it was just going to be, everything was going to be blue. And then they could, push the Green New Deal, like all this stuff they're talking about, Green New Deal, packing the court, ending the filibuster. All that type of stuff is just off the table now. I mean, it's just Biden's going to swivel in his chair for a few years until either they get him out or he, you know, maybe he serves the 4 years and you know, then Kamala.
Oh, he's not serving for 4 years. There's no way.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but that's the idea.
I have my own. I mean, I'm really thinking, and I know a lot of people have been comparing this to Z, but I think it's going to be like a House of Cards deal because I watched that show. But I don't think Biden would make it 4 years, and not necessarily that he would die in office. And I've been making some sort of predictions about what will happen. But my thing is that I think that Biden will like say something really inappropriate, maybe the N word, and maybe say it to Kamala because he's becoming more and more senile as the days go on. And then they'll enact the 25th Amendment, and Kamala will be the first, not only the first black female Indian, whatever, president. And I think that that's really what they're pushing for, is they're really trying to groom Kamala for that number one seat, because there's no way in hell that Biden, say he makes it 4 years, there's no way he's going for re-election. Like, he's dead. He's dying. He's dead. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that's the idea when you get elected president, is you serve 4 years. I mean, he's an old man. He doesn't look great. Sometimes he looks fine, though. Sometimes he looks fine. So I don't know. He just looks like an old guy. And sometimes he looks like he's on a silver alert sometimes. And then other times he's fine. So I don't know. But either way, it's going to be fine. you know, whatever happens is going to be fine. Yeah. What I thought was interesting, too, about this election was the pollsters were wrong again. They had Biden landslide victory in this election, and that was not the case again. So there needs to be some sort of autopsy of polling in this country and media in this country, which there will be none of. Of course.
Well, it could be the case, and I know that you've said something similar to this before, but it could be the fact that they are reporting the facts, but it's not indicative of the truth. So, for example, if you're not doing anonymous surveying, if you're going outside and you're asking people who they voted for, I mean, they could easily lie to you mm-hmm. or hang up on you. And you assume who they voted for, you know, whatever the case may be. So you may be getting data, but it's inaccurate because people don't want to be branded as a Trump supporter. They don't want people to know how they feel about something. Like, for example, like I voted for Trump, but you won't see me walking around with a MAGA hat. You know, you won't see me with a Trump sign outside of my door or on my front lawn or a bumper sticker on my car. Like, I'm not trying to get my windows smashed in. Mm-hmm. So I feel like... I don't know how they're polling people. I imagine they're not doing it anonymously. I feel like if you were doing anonymous polling, you might get a lot different results. And then how many people are they polling? Is it like 100? Is it random? Is it not random? Are they going in blue neighborhoods? Like, all of that needs to be sort of sorted out because, right, again, this time with the polls completely off. But the thing is, we all expected that because of 2016. And that's why even though they said that the polls, Biden was ahead, they still told people, don't sleep on this. Get out and vote. Remember what happened in 2016. We thought it was going to be a sweep. It turns out it wasn't. So,
yeah. I think a lot of it is that corporate press has called Trump a racist and a sexist. And quite literally, I mean, Hitler and the devil. I mean, and people don't want a cop to being like, I don't think he's that bad of a guy. I don't know. I mean, I don't really like some of the stuff he says on Twitter, but he seems to be doing pretty good. My 401k went up. A lot of people are single voters. So the economy was good. I don't think he's not that bad.
Yeah.
So they don't want to admit to it, though, because they'll be ostracized by society, friends and family, you know.
Yeah.
That's a potential outcome. So, and I think a lot of people are also... see that, and then they see Trump's rhetoric of fake news, he's enemy of the people, that type of behavior. So they, you know, go, I'm not talking to you. And rightfully so, honestly. I wouldn't talk to any of these people.
Yeah, I mean, if you say you surveyed, say, 100 people, and 50 of them don't want to give you an answer, and the other 50 are happy to tell you that they voted for Biden. Now you have, you know, only 50 answers. They're all Biden. You're like, oh, polls are up. No one's voting for Trump. But that's not true, you know? So I really think it depends on if you're doing anonymous versus not anonymous polling and surveying people. Like you said, most people that vote for Trump are not going to rally. They don't want people to know. A lot of people in my family, a historically Democratic Jewish family from Southern California. I mean, it really doesn't get more liberal than that. Members of my own family are low-key telling me, like, I voted for Trump, but, like, don't tell your aunt.
Yeah.
Don't tell your cousin. That's happening by the hundreds of thousands. Mm-hmm. You know, I was recently contacted by a good friend of mine who was my most liberal friend in college. Her boyfriend reached out to me and said, you know, someone, my girlfriend, your friend, is, you know, voted for Trump and is scared to tell anybody. And he knows I'm kind of openly, you know, more to the right. So I texted her and I was just like, you're not alone. Like, we can talk if you want to, you know, like, you're not the only one that feels like, you know, this is kind of something secretive, and no, you're not a racist. No, you're not a bad person. Like, you know, so a lot of people are keeping that on the DL.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, people are scared, just like COVID-19, because of media. Again,
yeah.
with Trump, they're told that if they do these things, they're bad people. And
right.
So they go, well, there's no, I'll do it. I'll go in there and pull the lever for them, but I just won't tell anybody. They're totally out of touch with the common person. It's bizarre how completely crazy they've made themselves. And you just listen to them talk, and it's just like, you don't live on the same planet. And it's weird too, because the only demographic that Donald Trump lost people on was white men. He lost 4 points on white men in this election than from 2016. So in a way, yep. them calling white people racist 24/7 constantly, it kind of worked because Biden could potentially end up winning this thing. If he had those 4 points of white men in 2016, it'd probably be a different story today. And also, Trump gained buku points as far in every other group. And 35% of Muslims voted for him. He gained, I think, 20% of black men voted for Trump. I mean, there was a lot, he gained a lot. And meanwhile, they just keep calling him racist. Now, are they going to learn their lesson from that? No. They're going to keep doing the same stuff over and over. It's already started. I saw a lady that lost today. She was running in the state of Florida. She was talking about, what's her name? Pam Keith. She says 91% of black women voted for Biden because we love everyone. 20% of black men voted for Trump because they hate black women. Thank you to the 80% of brothers who stand with us. I mean, you just look at that and I go, I don't know. It's totally irrational. It's totally out of touch. And will they change that behavior and try to be understanding and try to understand where these people are coming from, why they're doing these things? And I think the answer is no. And I think that this is just going to keep happening. They're going to keep losing and then throw their hands up in there and be like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And so it's up to them, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. We still don't know who the president of the United States is going to be at this point, and I don't think we will by the time this gets released. I don't think we will until maybe even after
Christmas. I think it'll be, honestly, a month, we're lucky.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
So that's kind of where my head's at. But to be honest with you, I just kind of want to get an answer and an answer where everybody just kind of accepts. You know, if it's, I want, again, you don't necessarily need the other person to concede, but if Biden or Trump concedes and can kind of tell their people, listen, it is what it is, that would make me feel better than both saying, no, don't stop. Like Hillary Clinton, you know, trying to, or did tell Biden, do not concede under any circumstances. Trump doesn't need anybody whispering that in his ear. He was going to do that anyway.
Yeah.
So we do need someone at some point to kind of concede, and not that necessarily that makes them, you know, the presidency doesn't go through, but just to kind of tell their base, listen, this is the result. We're going to respect the result, and this is your new or reelected president.
And to that I say, fat chance. No way we're going back to being normal. There is no going back. We're totally changed. It's going to be a wild ride. So we'll see. Thanks, Anna, for coming by. And that'll do it. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you listen on podcast, please do tell a friend about it, share it, all that good stuff. Go like the Facebook page at HMB Radio and follow me on Twitter at @home_made_man. And I think that's it, right? Sounds good to me. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Go check out NTT Fitness, please, so they're not too mad at me. Go check out Truvy Salon and Spa. I hope you have a good week. I hope we don't go into a civil war. I don't think we do, though. Everybody's pretty much on board at this point. Hopefully we talk about something else soon. Will Koontz, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Goodbye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
He is a sick puppy.